savings.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Might have some kind of interesting audio quality here because this is very definitely a remote. We have spent the entire week in the state of Idaho, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get internet contact, for lack of better terms. We're doing the best that we can because we felt that this week was so important. We wanted to originate a show from Idaho. Okay, having said that, Dan Pisteni with me right now. Dan is a frequent guest on our show. Dan is a CPA. He's a former president of Lighthouse Partners Securities in the San Francisco area. He is a fund manager, basically an investment advisor, does a great job for a whole lot of people, and a good friend. You know, Dan, we had an interesting situation early in the week. The House and the Senate agreed on a compromise. They raised the budget ceiling, the deficit ceiling, I guess I should say, to be perfectly accurate. The market responded, in my humble opinion, in the way I thought they would respond, and that was the conventional markets went down and the precious metals markets went up. Precious metals markets went up significantly because, as virtually all of the pundits said, people are looking for a safe haven, for lack of better terms, and gold and silver definitely provides that safe haven. Mr. Pisteni, what do you think, buddy? I mean, is this going to continue to be good for the precious metal sector? Is the U.S. going to get its financial house in order? What do you think?
Obviously, the market is not pleased with what our congressional leaders have done, and I think they were looking for a lot more in the form of cutting, and they didn't do it. The number that was bandied about was $4 trillion. I don't know if that is a magic number or anything else. Frankly, I think the number should be a lot larger. But anyway, they got about 2.5, and that's not going to do it. And they didn't get anything in the form of structural changes. And I think they could see that as a possibility. There's this committee that they've designed, and, you know, it's a committee that's going to be half Democrats, half Republicans, most likely. And unfortunately, the Democrats have come kicking and screaming to making any real cuts. So I'm not real confident. The Democrats are not interested in changing anything in the entitlement programs. And so I think we're in for some difficult sledding for a while. But if they do make some structural changes to our entitlement programs, you could see a real change, and that would not be so good for commodities. But I think in the short run, I think commodities are going to have their day because we're going to continue to be irresponsible. We're going to continue to wreck our currency. We're going to continue to issue out dollars. We're going to continue to spend more than we have, and they're going to be irresponsible. Politicians are going to do what they do. But they did take a bite out of it here. I think we made some progress. It was something. And I think for those people who wanted a much larger number in deficit cutting, at least they got something. I think it was unrealistic to see a large program because there's no way they could make structural reform in a short period of time. But at least they got something for expanding the debt ceiling or raising the debt ceiling. But in the short run for commodities, you have to feel very good if you're in that business because we keep cheapening the dollar. Now there's more talk of perhaps QE3. If that happens, much of the move in commodity prices was subsidized by what Bernanke did. And if you see more of it, you may get another follow-on. So I think you got to feel good if you're in these markets.
Dan, the one place where I would disagree with you is I don't think this is a short-term event. And the reason I say that is because of the reaction primarily on the part of mainland China and, interestingly enough, also on the part of Russia. Now, let's talk a little bit about China first. China's foreign reserves are incredibly high. They're the highest in the world, okay? And when you talk about foreign currency reserves, interestingly enough, theoretically that does not include gold and silver, but in reality, you know, whenever you look up the definition of foreign currency reserves, it is stressed that in reality that includes gold. Well, China has a huge, huge holding of gold right now, and getting to that point is something that they started just a few years ago. Now, I have a lot of respect for the Chinese intellect. The Chinese economy right now, Dan, is the second largest in the world, soon to be the first largest in the world, and they're not buying gold because they're stupid. They're not buying gold because they want to go into the jewelry business. They're buying gold for what I think is a very, very specific reason. They see the fallacy, for lack of better terms, of fiat currencies, and it would not surprise me a bit if you didn't see gold as the basis of an asset-based international currency that really had just a whole lot more stability than the U.S. fiat currency has. What are your comments on that?
Well, I think the Chinese story is still not written. I remember when I was in business school in the 1980s, early 80s, we were talking about Japan being the dominant economy, and we need to ape the same model that they use in management style and everything else. And, of course, we've seen what happened. They've gone through a period of 15, 20 years of very soft economy, low interest rates to try and prop up the whole system. They don't write down their debts. The Chinese story, we'll have to see. They have still a problem. They have a communist government. They're dealing with heavy inflation. They have very poor people in the hinterlands. I wouldn't trade with them. I wouldn't be quick to say they're going to be the number one economy. Their people are still paid per capita much less than what you see in the United States. So it's hard to say. Yes, they are buying gold. They have been buying gold. And that's fine. And of course, you could see the panic when they made large complaints about the U.S. government when the U.S. government threatened to stop issuing more bonds because then the Chinese had no place to put some of their excess capital. But again, I look to short run periods. Long term, humans can still make changes. I've said this many times on this show. If humans can make changes, they can get responsible and they can affect the course of the future. And so long run, it's hard to predict. I know a lot of people come on the show and they're quick to tell you what's going to happen 5 years, 10 years, 15 years out. If I've learned anything in being a broker is that you may have some pretty good reasoning for why you think something's going to happen, but events can change, external events, certain shocks can change what you think is going to happen in the long run. But short run, you have to say we're in a bind in Europe, we're in a bind in the United States, and that's what's moving the price of gold. But in the long run, you know, it depends. If we continue to have irresponsible leaders and China makes some structural changes, yeah, you could very well see that long term you're in a good spot with gold.
Well, let's talk a little bit right now about the U.S. economy. You know, I mentioned a long time ago on the air, went on record as saying that I think that there's a possibility that if by the, let's say, the 2012 election, if the U.S. really does get their house in order or at least is going in the direction of getting their house in order, that could make people look at gold as perhaps being a secondary investment as opposed to a lot of people looking at it as being the primary investment right now, for safety, for lack of better terms. Having said that, I've got to tell you, I think the situation has gotten so complicated in the United States, so convoluted and so bad, that I really, really don't see a solution happening in the near term. Comment on that, would you?
Yeah, in the near term, with this president and a mixed Congress, I do not see it as well. But in a longer period of time, they could make structural changes to our entitlement programs. It's really the big four. It's Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, and then you'd have to say defense. Certainly there could be some cuts in defense because any government program is inefficiently run and that you could find savings. But in the three entitlement programs, they need to start making changes to those programs so that they're sustainable. It's amazing that Americans have tolerated the unsustainability of these programs. And if you had a political leader who came in and just purely argued that these systems, they bankrupt themselves, that they're Ponzi's, particularly Social Security, it's the easiest one to fix, but it's a clear Ponzi scheme. You're taking money from current contributors and you're paying that out to current beneficiaries, and they've saved nothing. But if they make structural changes to those, I think you could see something that happens, and that would require responsible leaders.
That's the key, my friend, responsible leaders. Not to say that we don't have responsible leaders right now. I think that their hearts are in the right place. They're just not going in the direction that Big Al thinks is the proper direction. Hey, we're going to be right back from Idaho. Dan and I are going to be chatting with Christine Copper. Christine is involved with Premium Exploration, one of our favorite companies. over here. Be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one safe all natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer, buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spell DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, back for segment two, the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Hope we've got some fairly good audio on this one. We are in the field, so this is a bit of a remote chatting right now with Dan Pacenti, who helped me out with the first segment, and Christine Copper from premium exploration. As I said, we're in Idaho, and the whole purpose of our visit here is to shoot some video on the mining industry in the state of Idaho, and one of the sponsors of that video was premium exploration. And obviously, we visited the property. This is the second time Dan has been there. And Dan, I know you've got some questions for Christine. You're on, buddy. What do you think?
Well, we've enjoyed seeing the property. I was there last year and got a lot out of it last year. But frankly, I thought it was a little early for my particular customers. I felt they had a lot of work to do. But coming back a year later, I was really impressed. They did everything that they said they were going to do, and they've really expanded the project, and it's fun to watch. I'm curious, Christine, to hear from her what she expects to see out of the current drill program and any possibilities to expand that program.
Well, Dan, it was fantastic having you on the project. Great to hear your positive feedback. And, yeah, we're really excited about the current program. We're drilling 25,000 meters. We have the three drill rigs on the project as we speak. The main focus up until now was developing our 43-101 resources on the property, which total 342,000 ounces indicated and 879,000 ounces inferred. And we've been working on that. That was a big goal of ours last year where we increased that resource, and now we're currently marching out along strike on that asset just to see how much bigger it's going to get. You know, we've established those ounces, but our geophysics and soil geochemistry indicate that this deposit could be much, much larger than it is today. You know, that those ounces are hosted in about 1.4 kilometers of strike, and our geophysics and geochem show up to 5 kilometers of potential. So what you should see out of this program is a lot of step-out drilling on that just to see the extent and the size of the deposit. And we'll continue marching out until we don't find the target anymore, and then we'll come back in and do some infill drilling to increase the ounces. So to answer your question, you're going to hopefully see a much larger extent or size potential of the deposit. And with the footage that we have in the budget, we'll come back and do some infill drilling. So some increase in size of the deposit, but, you know, we're not working on 100% increasing the 43-101 ounces at this stage. Having said that, we've got two drills in the Deadwood area, which are now utilizing the model, which pretty much doubled the size of the deposit at the Friday, out in the field on our brand new targets. We've now drilled four Deadwood areas that are all kind of scattered all through that part of the project. And, you know, we're drilling new stuff we've never seen before, so we don't know exactly what it means. And if those, you know, those drill results come back positive, then we could have made, you know, at least one to four new discoveries on the project. And that could be an extremely exciting thing for our shareholders because it means our model's working to develop or discover new gold zones on the property. And depending on what happens here in the current marketplace, I mean, we're so target rich. And if our model's working and we've got the right exploration strategy, I think we would be really excited to expand the program. But that really comes down to the success, you know, continuing finding new targets and knowing that the model's working and market cooperation, and who knows what could happen. Like the options could really change. We could come back and do some more exploration drilling, as well as maybe dedicate some more footage to the resource, because we could potentially expand those ounces like considerably with the step out drilling that we've already done to date.
I think it's been really helpful to go see the property and walk it. It's a unique property. It's a very large property. There's a very interesting topography. It's a hilly, mountainous area, and it's loaded with trees, and so it's been interesting to hear how the deposit was even located. It's hard to see any anomalies at surface, and they really have done an amazing job. I think for people who don't deal with Idaho, I think the listeners might have some interest in what it's like, what your relations are with the various parties, environmentalists, the states, anybody that has any ties to that particular land, and what permitting's like, how difficult it is to get permits, what it's like to expand the drill program.
Those are some fantastic questions.
We recently were in Toronto with Governor Cecil Andrus, who did a fantastic presentation on what mining's like in Idaho. And in fact, I think a lot of people were really surprised to hear how much mining activity is actually going on. It's an excellent state to be working in. You've got huge multinational companies such as J.R. Simplot and Monsanto operating in the southeast. We've been talking a lot about Formation Metals, who's recently just permitted their cobalt mine. And actually, Monsanto has just recently permitted the expansion of one of their open pits. You've got the Silver Valley, which is operating right now. You've got Hecla, who's been in operation for over 100 years, et cetera. So from a production standpoint, there's a lot going on in the state. And the state actually was founded on mining. And as we're coming into these excellent commodity prices, you're actually seeing a lot of companies coming out here and following up on historic mining districts or historic assets, and things are really moving forward in the sense of like production as well as exploration. Now, we're in an exploration stage, even though we've got some resources under our belt and we've got a huge exploration upside, you know, that's a big part of what we're doing. So drill permitting is a big part of that. How things work here is it's actually a 60-day turnaround time as long as you have no weather delays, et cetera, or, you know, problems with the government, so to speak. If people were going to be out of work all of a sudden, then, you know, drill permitting would have been a challenge. However, it's 60 days, which is fantastic because I've been hearing down in Nevada they've actually been struggling with getting permitting. And you just have to make sure that you stay in contact with all these stakeholders. You know, there's always going to be environmental concerns, and as exploration and mining companies, you know, we ourselves expect to be environmental stewards, and we do the best that we can, and we're going to do the best that we can do in terms of the technologies out there. You know, even in our exploration, we're utilizing very invasive types of technologies like geophysics, is remote sensing, et cetera. So we're really conscious on that end. And in terms of going through the permitting process, you know, you just start there, you start developing great relationships with all the stakeholders involved, keep communicating with everyone, and as you start moving forward to the more advanced stages, you just continue doing the same thing.
I think it's really important for listeners to be aware that the permitting process in Idaho is not nearly as difficult as it is in some other states, because the state government is so darn enthusiastic and supportive of the mining industry. Idaho has, to a large extent, been based on the mining industry for a long time, and I really don't see that changing. I am very, very intrigued with what's going on in Idaho from a mining standpoint. Miguel's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. My friend James Turk is joining me for the last couple of segments of this hour. I wanted to get James on the program because of the really rather, I don't want to say dramatic, but let's say pseudo-dramatic events that have occurred in the precious metals markets the last couple of days of this week. We're going to chat about that, but before we talk about that, we're going to talk a little bit about, for lack of better terms, some of the things that are going on that we think are causative factors for what's happening in the markets right now. Now, as an example, I am very, very, I don't know if I'm happy or unhappy about the situation with Greece. You know, it came out towards the end of the week that the European Union said, okay, we're bailing the country out. James, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing, Al, because it's bringing more government involvement in the free market. It's putting a bigger burden on the back of taxpayers instead of where that burden should really be, which is the shareholders of the banks that made all of the bad decisions to lend money to Greece in the first place.
But let me ask you this. I mean, I don't disagree with what you just said, but what's the alternative?
The alternative is they should have let Lehman Brothers collapse back in 2008 and just let the chips fall where they may. All they've done is they've bought a little bit of time, but those chips are going to fall where they may sooner or later anyway. The problem is, Al, that there's just too much debt out there in the system, and a lot of that debt is bad, bad debt. It's got to be written off of bank balance sheets. Borrowers have to recognize the reality that a lot of these bad loans are never going to be paid back. And the longer it takes governments to realize that, the more they're going to draw out this economic contraction that we've been in now since the Lehman collapse back in 2008.
So you're saying that long term, the European Union saying, okay, Greece will take care of you, is a bad decision because the inevitable event down the road is going to be you're going to have a crash anyway.
Exactly. And, you know, Greece is just one of the weak links in the chain. Now they're talking about Italy and the bad economic conditions that are prevailing in Italy at the moment. Spain, the same thing. You know, the Spanish economy is twice the size of the economy of Ireland, Portugal, and Greece added together.
Mm-hmm.
And Italy's even bigger than that. There's just not enough money or not enough accumulated capital in the world, you know, to bail out these over-leveraged sovereign debtors.
Well, I think you're 100% right on that. You know, if you take that argument to the United States, you know, right now we're in what's known as a QE2, but we're very, very shortly here at the end of this month, we're going to be in QE3, you know, and kind of the conjecture around the financial world is, you know, is Geithner and the rest of the staff, so to speak, the rest of the players, I guess I should say, so to speak, are they going to go on and continue with this quantitative easing, which is just, you know, kind of an interesting way of saying printing more funny money. Are they going to go on and do that in the third quarter of this year? You know, and then Big Al would say, how about the fourth quarter of this year? How about the first quarter of next year? You know, I mean, I don't see any alternative in the United States. You know, two things can happen. Number one, you can take your medicine right now and fundamentally make the system correct, or you can continue to throw anesthetic at the patient so he or she stays asleep. But you know what? The patient's going to wake up eventually. QE3 is continuing with this quantitative easing is just absolutely putting off the inevitable, James.
Yeah, it really is. You're absolutely right, Al. And here's the concern that I have. You know, if a currency collapses, not only does it, you know, destroy everybody who's involved with the currency, but it also destroys the economy as well. And I guess Mr. Bernanke's thinking that, you know, he can pump up the economy by printing money, but it hasn't worked. And, you know, people should, you know, recognize that it hasn't worked. He should recognize that it hasn't worked. There hasn't been really any economic growth since they started QE1 or QE2. They're
well,
just piling more debt on, creating a bigger problem.
He admitted that on Thursday in a speech that he gave. President Obama admitted that just a few days prior to that in a speech that he gave. You know, as President Obama said, you know, the shovels that we had in mind simply weren't big enough. You know, we didn't realize how much dirt had to be thrown out of that hole. Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, here you got James Turk, you got Al Corlin, you got all of our colleagues who 3 or 4 years ago said this isn't going to work. You can't do it the way you're doing it. History has proven us to be absolutely correct, short of a miracle, James. You know, I don't, and I can't see any possibility of that miracle becoming reality. The current economic actions, both in Europe and in the United States, are totally, absolutely, 100%, in my opinion, incorrect.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the bigger issue here, Al, is that this is just not some cyclical correction that we're in. This is something that's structural. You know, the system of borrow and spend and print at the central bank, this system is coming to an end. And I think that's what investors and, you know, people should be looking toward. You know, some kind of big change in terms of the way business is done, the way finance is conducted, and more particularly the way governments borrow and spend. This is coming to an end.
What I find to be interesting is I was reading on Bloomberg yesterday that the latest poll done by that particular organization came out with some very, very definitive results. And one of the results was the average American who took part in that poll is fed up. They are tired of the Republicans and the Democrats bickering. They're tired of not having the country take its own medicine. And, you know, and many of them are saying, you know, you got to increase revenues. I mean, if you look at the income statement and the balance sheet of the United States, if the U.S. were a publicly traded company, we would not be buying stock in it because the income statement and the balance sheet are absolutely, totally, 100% in the toilet. Now, when you have the average guy in the street saying that, that's showing that the awareness is increasing. And I guess my question would be, What's the next step?
Well, you know, the next step is that when confidence is completely broken, then you have a currency crisis. And, you know, one of the things that have been a characteristic of the monetary system since the end of the Second World War is there have been dozens and dozens of monetary crises all over the world.
Sure.
You know, we're seeing one now in Europe, and I think, you know, what's happening in the United States indicates that we're pretty close to a monetary crisis in the United States as well. You know, Americans should not assume it can't happen there because it's happening all over the world.
Well, you know, I find what I find to be interesting about this is, you know, our listeners are very well of my, very aware, I guess I should say, of my past involvement with a publicly traded bank where I was the token Caucasian. Everybody else was, you know, Chinese, just Big Al there kind of watching what was going on. I worked with these guys for 22 years. I have nothing but admiration for them because they are very, very methodical. Their concept of time is very different from ours, you know, and as the bank that I was involved in worked, and when I say worked, you know, we went public at 50 cents, we sold out at close to $14 22 years later. Well, that ain't bad. The same thing is going on with the economy of mainland China right now. You know, those guys aren't stupid. They see what's going on in the West. They're beginning to take footholds in the West by significantly investing right now in European companies. They continue to invest in American companies. You know what? It ain't looking good for us in terms of, you know, I don't want to use a dramatic word sovereignty here, but I would say sphere of influence. I don't think it's looking too good for us, James, and I don't see an alternative.
Yeah, we should take a lesson from what the Chinese are doing. You know,
of course.
As they receive dollars, they're spending those dollars, they're investing those dollars. They're not, you know, saving those dollars or accumulating dollars. They're accumulating resources. They're accumulating companies that are involved in the resource industries. And, you know, they're taking those dollars and putting them to work rather than just sitting on U.S. government paper. They're avoiding U.S. government paper, and I think all prudent investors should avoid U.S. government paper.
Well, as is evidenced by the fact that the majority of the debt of the United States right now is being bought by the Fed because nobody else wants to buy it. All of this, in my mind, is incredibly bullish for the price of gold. James and I are going to be back to wrap up this particular hour in the next segment, and we're going to talk about the nuances and the reasons for investing in gold. Stick around.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.
For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Al Corlin, he's the market analyst and chairman of AB Corlin & Associates, and you can find Al at kereport.com.
Al, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, Mr. Butler, I'm doing great. Jason, nice to talk with you, too. I am certainly not looking at Canada right now, you guys. I'm in the middle of the state of Idaho.
Okay, what's going on up there in Idaho? You checking out a mine?
We are actually shooting some video. Yeah, we're looking at three companies up here, but we're shooting a video on the, you know, the status of the mining industry here in the state. I have to tell you, after spending some time talking with the former Secretary of the Interior, Cecil Andrus, and who is also, by the way, a three-term governor of the state of Idaho, I am very, very optimistic as to the future of the mining industry here in Idaho. It's the amount of support that the mining companies here get from the state government and the various county governments is just absolutely amazing to me.
Al, since Ben Bernanke opened his mouth back about 3 or 4 weeks ago and hinted at QE3, and I've talked to a number of people that think we now have a stealth QE3 going on out there.
Oh, sure.
And then we have, you know, this debt ceiling and clearly, you know, the expansion of the money supply to finance it. Gold is just really on a tear. What do you think? Is it going to keep going?
I think it's going to keep going. I really do. You know, I was asked that same question on CNN yesterday, and the fellow who I spoke with tried to get me to say that we could be reaching a top, or you know, if we don't reach a top soon, we'll be there right around the corner. And you know, are there going to be safeguards to protect people against that particular eventual fall? I don't think we're going to have an eventual fall. I really don't. I mean, we're sitting here right now as we're talking. Gold is up about $7, $16.67. Silver continues to be up significantly right now, about 72 cents. And yet, you look at the overall indicators. You look at the Dow; we're down 51 points. Nasdaq is down. U.S. dollar is down. Everything is down. And I'll tell you what I attributed it to. I attributed it to really what's going on right now in the Far East, and I think that is a harbinger of things to come in terms of the price of gold. I really do.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about what is going on in the Far East and how that is affecting the prices of the precious metals.
Well, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was speaking at a conference in Washington, D.C., and just about that time, coincidentally, the Chinese government came out and said, you know, we're going to encourage our citizens to start saving. And we're going to, you know, we're going to recommend to our folks that they use precious metals as a medium for that saving. Well, you know, as soon as that was announced, it became apparent to everybody that China was the largest gold producer in the world. Well, that evolved into where today they are not only the largest gold producer, but if I'm not mistaken, they are the largest or the second largest importer of gold. Well, you know, you also look at their comments about wanting to alter the international reserve currency, take it away from the U.S. dollar and utilize a currency that's asset-based. They've talked about that and the French have talked about that. Well, when you realize that China's foreign exchange reserves right now are the world's largest, $3 trillion, I mean, that is a huge, huge number. And anybody who knows virtually anything about economics knows that in reality, foreign exchange reserves include gold. Well, why are the Chinese going in that direction? Well, they're going in that direction because they understand that fiat currencies, Alan, do not work. A fiat currency system in the history of the world has never lasted more than a couple hundred years. I mean, I'm telling you, you look at what's going on in the country right now with the, you know, the silly debt ceiling fiasco, raising the debt ceiling, et cetera. I don't think the U.S. dollar as a fiat currency has much longevity anymore. And what does that do for the price of gold? Well, doesn't take an idiot to figure that one out. It increases.
Al, one thing I recall is back in November and then again in January, there was more than rumor floating around that China was actually getting ready to back the yuan with gold. Are you hearing any such notion?
I've heard talk about that in the past. I think it would be a logical step. You know, I'll tell you, in terms of astute business people, these guys are incredible, and they realize the value, in my humble opinion, they realize the value of an asset-based currency, and it would not surprise me in the slightest if they flipped over to using gold as their, you know, as their basis.
Al, what were your thoughts on Vladimir Putin's comments about the United States, or at least the United States government, as a parasite on the rest of the world?
Well, you know, Jason, I think that was an interesting comment. I have to say we got a number of comments on that particular issue on our blog, and something that that some of our listeners and readers pointed out to me was they felt this was more of a political statement. The speech was made at a youth camp, you know, where he had made similar statements in the past. So I think it's political, oh, for lack of better terms, posturing. But you know, again, by the same token, if you look at what he said, you can't dispute the fact that we are, in a sense, not really improving the economic situation of the entire world. But you cannot put all the blame on the U.S. It's just that we happen to be the largest economy in the world right now. And so the impact that we have compared to Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy, what have you, is going to be significantly larger. But, you know, the world is beginning to look at us and shake their fingers, as Putin did, and say, you know, we thought you guys were smarter than that.
Yeah, China joined in with Russia this morning, so...
Well, they kind of did. I took a fair amount of time reading that particular discourse from Joe from China. And on the one hand, he kind of joined Putin. But on the other hand, he was saying that we applaud that they're attempting to take actions.
Yeah, but, you know, we pulled up what they did. They actually voted to increase federal spending by $1.8 trillion per year. That's their idea of cuts.
It's incredible. You know, the one thing that came out of all of this that I think is really, really interesting is our president said, you know, we got to get this away from partisan politics. And yet the one thing that he wouldn't back down on is he doesn't want to deal with this again until after the election. Hey, if that isn't a political action, you guys, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. What do you think? We go into gold, we go into mining stocks, go into both. What's your suggestion to the listeners?
My suggestion is, you know, and again, I'm not a registered investment advisor, and I don't tell people what to do. I just tell folks what I'm doing. And we are pretty much diversified between precious metals, about 10% in precious metals themselves, and then probably of our portfolio, I'd say another 50% in solid mining stocks. And I think that's a great place to be right now, but I know you guys talk about investments all the time, and I know that diversification is something that you stress, and that's also very important. So we also have, a bit of money in real estate and a bit of money in the conventional stock market just to hedge our bets.
Well, how's copper doing? I haven't looked at copper lately.
I hate to say it, at the risk of sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about, but the base metals seem to be holding up there. I have been spending all of my time, you guys, really following political events around the world and following precious metals, the reaction in the precious metals markets, because what I think we're seeing right now is I think that we are seeing basically events occurring that have never occurred before. I was asked what the difference was between the gold market in the late 70s, early 80s, and today, and I think it's very, very simple. In the late 70s and early 80s, you had a huge run-up in the price of gold based on one thing, inflation. Today you're having a huge run-up in the price of gold based on a host of events. Political turmoil, financial uncertainty, currency uncertainty, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm basically focusing most of my time right now on politics and what's going on in the precious metals markets.
And they have been on fire lately.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, we're up this year about 40%? Yeah, from around 1,200 to around close to 1,700, and I'm thinking that the next stop is going to be at $1,700, pardon me, an ounce for gold, and probably somewhere around $45 an ounce for silver.
Yeah, I would say that looks easily it. I was doing some calculations on gold, 1980 gold with 1980 methodology, and it for tallying inflation, and to get to those 19 Jimmy Carter highs, we've got a whole lot of room to run. I've seen if you use the Clinton-era methodology for inflation, we should be almost $3,000 an ounce now. If you use the Reagan-era methodology, we're hovering in around $5,000 an ounce. So it got a lot of room to run for it. It could be called a bubble.
You know what's funny? I'll tell you what I think is really funny about you mentioned how inflation was calculated before. Now, for folks who are on Social Security, they're gonna calculate inflation even more, even more differently than ever in the past. And I think that's just amazing. And as a lot of the pundits have said of late, this is just an indirect way to tax Social Security, and I think that's just criminal.
Absolutely. Hey, Al, listen, it is always a pleasure.
Alan, Jason, thank you so much, buddies.
See ya.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.